This is the Living in Fierce Alignment podcast, your go-to place for mindset transformation, self-empowerment, and personal development. I'm your host, Kayla. I'm a mindset coach for ambitious human beings who are wildly passionate about up-leveling themselves so that they can live a limitless life with ease. I'm here to show you how to create the life of your dreams and powerfully step into your full potential, and of course, live fiercely. So let's get started. Welcome back, everyone. Today I have an amazing interview with an incredible woman. Her name is Renee McKenna. She's a Master's of Arts and is a hypnotherapist, shamanic healer, and the author of the book and audio series Allies and Demons, Working with Spirit for Power and Healing. Spiritual psychology is her unique blend of shamanism and Buddhist philosophy with Western psychology and body-based mindfulness. She has been leading workshops, groups, and individual mentorship since 2001. So I had a beautiful conversation with her, and I loved what we talked about. We dove into trauma, we dove into healing, we dove into being connected to the whole, the source, and it was just a very wholesome and spiritually grounding conversation. I found it very refreshing, so I hope that you find the same. So make sure you check the show notes at the end, because there's going to be some great resources for how you can get connected with Renee. So let's dive in. Renee, welcome to Living in Fierce Alignment. I'm so excited to have you here. Just so our listeners know, and you're going to find this in the show notes, Renee and I did an interview on her YouTube channel where I dove into her gene keys, and we talked about how this wisdom was showing up in her business. So she is a therapist and shamanic healer, and it was such a beautiful conversation that I obviously invited her onto my channel because I wanted to just continue to chat with her and connect with her and have her share her wisdom. So Renee, you're here now. Thank you for being here. I'm so excited to have you.
Hey, it's great to be here and connect with you again.
Yes. Oh, my heart is just so full and satisfied. So as we dive into the conversation, I would love if you can share with our audience how you got into the work that you do as a therapist and a shamanic healer.
So I came through the back door. I like to say I did enough therapy. I eventually became a therapist. And I had tremendous issues with addiction, drugs and alcohol, sex and love addiction and codependency, a lot of issues with food. And they were all really making my life tremendously unmanageable. And I crashed and burned in my early 20s. And started on a spiritual path, mostly through 12-step fellowships. And then I needed to have therapy because I had all these underlying unresolved emotional issues. And so I ultimately kind of ended up here. I cleaned houses for a long time, and which was awesome work, very chop wood, carry water, Buddhist kind of keeping my life simple. But I knew I wasn't using all my gifts and talents. And so I started to pray, because that had become part of my practice, to the larger consciousness system, show me how I can be most useful in the world. And ultimately, I came to California from the Boston area to go to graduate school. I decided I like to call myself an ex-crazy person. And as I had my own healing, I realized that really the most fulfilling thing that we can do is to share and be of service to others. And so I found a graduate school and was cleaning houses to make my way through graduate school in a master's degree in psychology program. And I was cleaning the house of this woman, and she said, "Oh, this is my therapy office." I didn't know she was a therapist. And she said, "You know, I do this funny kind of work, blending hypnotherapy and shamanism. And if you hear funny noises coming out, if the door's shut, like, don't clean in there." And I was very curious, and she ended up becoming my teacher for 14 years.
Oh my gosh. I love how life just surprises us and connects us with the right people at the right time.
Yes. So it was totally, and that happens for all of us, right? If we're open, I feel like life is a conversation with the universe, with the great intelligence and loving compassion and creative forces that are available to us. And when we're paying attention, and that's a lot for me of what spiritual practice has been about, is learning how to pay attention both to what's happening inside me and what's happening externally. And again, the meeting and the conversation between the two of us guides our life path. So here I am, 25 years later, now actually as a teacher of this work to other people, like my teacher was for me. Yeah.
Oh, it's so beautiful how we connect with the right people in the right time. We receive our medicine and however that looks, and it's just paying it forward. Like that's one of the things I really love about this industry, you know, with therapy and coaching and healing and guides. Like it's always every single time I have asked someone, what got you into the work that you do? They are going to say, I went through some insane experience or and I just want to help others. Like it's such a privilege, and it's so beautiful to witness that.
Well, that's the hero's journey. And I think it is the essence of why we're here as humans, is to live this kind of hero's journey. There was a guy, Joseph Campbell, who noticed that in almost all stories and all cultures across the world, that there was this kind of arc of having some kind of suffering, of needing to go into ourselves or into the cave to face the demons or the dragons that we all have, whatever those are, whether they're internal or external, and to be able to gather the jewels that those dragons or demons are holding and then bring them back out for the benefit of the village and the world, right? And so that's really the cyclical work of fulfillment. And you know, I've been on a personal growth path for over 30 years, and it's not over yet. I came here with a lot of bags and I'm still unpacking. So
I love how much love and compassion you have for yourself and your journey, and just the transparency of like, there's no end destination. This is how it is. I really wanted to ask you when you were talking about, because I think this is, we're going to start talking about trauma work and really processing and healing that. But there was something that you said that I think would be a really great entry point for people to develop their self-awareness. And that is, you mentioned earlier about how, you know, we're having conversations internally with ourselves and with the universe. And I think one thing that I know, just being somebody who's experienced, you know, her own trauma in terms of mental and emotional abuse growing up, what I really notice is the most powerful thing we can do is noticing when we are only having a conversation with our internal state and projecting that and being stuck in the victimhood of our experience. And I think that is so key, is to be able to separate that, like our experience being everything. And realizing that, well, actually, if I realize this is my experience and I can have a different conversation with people in my life, with, you know, the interactions that I have on a daily basis, whether it's intimate, platonic, and so on, and that's what's going to shift that internal experience. So that was very high level. I feel like you get what I'm saying, but I would love to hear your thoughts on this because this is like a very important piece of awareness when it comes to starting that healing journey.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, for me, the mechanism of healing that is an intrinsic force in all levels of life, that the environment is always self-healing itself. Our body knows how to self-heal itself. And our psyches, our minds, and our emotions actually have that capacity as well. But we often need help, just like if we cut ourselves really deeply or break a bone, you know, really seriously, we may need extra help. We might need stitches. We might need to get the bone set to be able to create the right conditions so that that natural healing can take place. And for humans, you know, I like to say God works through people. And whatever you want to call universal mind, I'm not attached to the God word at all. But I think being able to, like you described, come out of ourself. We get trapped in a prison of our own making, actually, a lot of times. And we don't even realize it, even though it's actually trying to help itself. Usually it's based on survival skills that may have worked really, really well when we were 3 or 5 or 12. But now, you know, later in our life, in different circumstances, we're still using those old roadmaps to try to navigate new territory. And we really need to ask for help. We need to be able to be honest and self-revealing to other people. to be able to share what's actually going on with us so that we can receive help. Just like breathing in and breathing out. I mean, the physical world, the basis of my spiritual psychology work really is animism, or the idea that there's consciousness and intelligence in all things, and nature is one of our most easily accessible doorways to connect with the larger system, with the universal mind or love or whatever you want to call it. And we can just look at our body, like we're breathing in and breathing out every moment. Like we are connected. That's why the breath is so central to many, many traditions. At any moment, we are receiving from the external and putting back out into it. And so learning how to do that in other areas of our life, particularly mentally and emotionally and energetically and relationally, particularly when there's like with patterns of wounding or we weren't cared for, or there's belief systems, and again, these survival skills that may have been really appropriate in a certain circumstance that don't work anymore. So we need to be willing to be as adaptable as the natural environment is to the different weather that comes and the different circumstances, that there's an adjustment that we need to be willing to make, and to know that there's always hope. That's the biggest thing. We can always change and grow. That's actually the mechanism here underneath everything, is perpetual change, and we can change ourselves, which changes our external experience. When we change our internal system, we change the external system. And the reverse is true too. When we change our external circumstances, it will often have impacts on our internal circumstances as well. So asking for help is usually the big first step for most of us.
Yes. Okay. So, nuanced question here. Not nuanced, but some people don't realize that they need to ask for help because, like you said, there's these programmings that happen from a young age, right? The 3 to 5 to 12, even before or after that. And that creates a certain way of behaving and seeing the world that keeps us stuck in that pattern, right? And so, what is a way that you recommend for people to reflect to realize, like, okay, I actually need help? So we're kind of taking the prequel step of asking for help. How does somebody know that they need to ask for help? Because some people think what they're going through is normal.
Well, I mean, human life is difficult. So having difficulties is part of being here. And I don't think it's a design flaw. I think it's set up to help us grow and evolve. And, for me, I don't tell people if they need to ask for help or not, really. I mean, it's up to you. If you, and everybody's in their own place. I mean, for some people, actually, they may be in a place where they were overly dependent. And becoming independent may actually be a growth place for them. Now, being interdependent, like there's kind of these three stages, I think, of dependency and independence and interdependence. And interdependence is the most complex, and it's actually the healthiest. But wherever we're all in different places in our own growth journey. So it may actually, for some people, be beneficial and helpful and a growth producing thing for them to actually do stuff themselves. For other people, if they're overly independent and don't believe that other people can help them or that there's any hope available, then those people need to open themselves up to be able to ask for help. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I actually think that's a great point that you brought up simply because I think people assume when you ask for help that it is a sign of weakness and that you are not capable, but you're actually showing three different ways that people can ask for help. Like if you're noticing the challenges in your life are causing you to be dependent, how can you ask for help so that you can become more independent or interdependent, right? Or if you're in the second pod of like being very independent, how can you ask for help so that you can actually depend on people or be more interdependent? And then it goes on with interdependence being independent and dependent. And so I love this because, again, I know that when it comes to healing, that it is coming back to that wounding of aloneness and realizing that we are all interconnected. And so having these three different examples of dependent, interdependent, independent is just an example of how we connect with others in the world to create our experience, to create our relationships, to create the results that we want, success in business, money, wealth, health, all of it. So that's really what, when you said that, I was like, that was great. I really loved that.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, just to speak a little more to that, I have a client who had a mother with very little boundaries and was really emotionally pernicious with him, and didn't allow him to have any of his own thoughts or feelings, and any feelings that she had, she blamed on him. And so he's actually trying to separate himself, and he's just started a brand new relationship with this lovely woman. And he goes between like being overly attached to her and then like wanting to run away. He has a mixed attachment style, right? From like anxious to avoidant. And a lot of people have that, right? And so for him, he had this over dependence on other people telling him he was okay, because his mother's opinion of him was kind of everything in the house, and he had to be a good boy or all hell would break loose, right? And so he kind of rebelled against that and avoided intimate relationship altogether, right? And so now he's coming to this new place of how to find healthy, again, interdependence of sharing what's happening with his partner, but from this adult ego state place of like, isn't it interesting? After we had sex last week, I got really nervous and felt like we were getting too close. But once a couple of days went by, I felt better. And he's able to share with her without having her fix him, right? And so he's learning how to share his experience like we do in healthy friendship, where we just share. And I don't expect Kayla to take care of my problems. I was sharing earlier, I did a challenging thing earlier before we got on this call. And but I don't expect you to like come in and fix my challenge for me. That's how we build strength, actually, is by friction. It's just I'm a weightlifter, and I love the metaphor of lifting weights. Like, if you want to get stronger, you actually need to lift weight a little bit harder, heavier than what you can handle. And then your muscles will grow accordingly. If I don't lift any weight, if I just lay around on the couch, which may be comfortable, I will become weak and flaccid, and my joints will hurt, right? So we actually need to lean in. It's a very interesting thing in our culture right now, because we're very, very interested in creating comfort for ourselves. And at the same time, the comfort actually weakens us. And so we have to find, again, this is a metaphor that's really, really helpful. Can we find places where we're leaning in and challenging ourselves? We're lifting weights emotionally or intellectually or relationally, a little bit outside of our comfort zone, so that we're getting stronger rather than avoiding and just staying comfortable, which tends to devolve us, because things are either kind of organizing themselves or they're devolving into chaos in the larger system. And which side do we want to be on? And that's where the cycle, like you said, of being stuck in our head, of being stuck in these old patterns, can be really, really destructive, because we need to be willing to learn how to challenge ourselves with like healthy fears or healthy challenges, rather than a lot of times we're just repeating the same thing over and over again, reinforcing these ideas that like people are bad, or I'm bad, or the world's not a trustworthy place, and not opening ourselves to really, again, the hope and help and healing that is available to all of us.
Yes. What I love about the work that you do is that it is this behavioral based approach, and it's also the spiritual aspect of, being connected and, praying and realizing that we are one piece of the bigger picture. And I'm really curious when you bring this forward, because I find sometimes, I mean, luckily the therapist that I work with, she also is very balanced in the work that she does. It's not just like behavioral, structural, need to change this, that, and the other, like masculine approach. I'm really curious, like, what's been your experience with bringing this balance into the work that you do? Because I find that spirituality and therapy is newer in the last few decades, and it didn't start out that way. I feel like this is really something that's blending together now.
Yes. It is absolutely, and it's the cutting edge of the healing technologies, and it's very, very exciting for me as someone who has benefited tremendously with the balance. In fact, I needed both because I was super intellectually developed, but the intellect, which absolutely has its purpose in our life, is not all the totality of who we are, because our emotional experiences, our felt experience, our relational experience, even our physical felt experience, those are all experiential. They're kind of non-rational. And the rational mind can't process non-rational material. I like to say it's kind of like my brain can't digest my food, like my stomach and my digestive system digest my food, right? And I don't actually have to think about it. It's a different system, right? We have these different systems. We're complex. And I think we've become overly intellectually focused. And I mean, there's always a pendulum swing. Humanity, I think humanity's doing just fine. We're evolving as a species, really, in an interesting way. But the swings that we make actually create a deficit on the other side. And we've swung too far into the intellect with not enough awareness of the, again, I like to say the physical and the metaphysical, the intellect and the intuitive is a limited idea, because it's not just intuition. It's our really our body felt experience, and the deep wisdom that belong that is connected with that, and being able to access this deeper wisdom that the intellect thinks it's on its own. The brain, and it is it, again, if it was just a brain, it couldn't run the whole body. We need all these other systems. And so opening up to our body felt experience, our emotional experience, our energetic, relational, and sexual experiences, like those all have wisdom to offer us, that is imperative for a fully functioning person. And a lot of times, a lot of traditional talk therapy, which I did plenty of, it was really helpful for me as a client because I didn't even know you could talk about stuff like that. Like just saying what happened in my house and my experience was a groundbreaking thing because we didn't talk about anything. We didn't talk about feelings. You don't talk about that stuff, right? So that was an important start. But just like digesting my food, I can think about digesting my food, but that doesn't make it digest. I can think about the things that happened and understand them, but it doesn't shift them. And using the active imagination, using our body felt experience, connecting energetically and spiritually with these as other non-physical aspects of ourselves, we can really make tremendous changes in our internal structure completely. That's really what the work is. And it's a balance of both.
I really loved the metaphors that you just gave in terms of like thinking about my food digesting isn't going to digest my food. Just like your stomach is not going to be able to digest and process what your mind understands. And I knew this already, but I feel that this metaphor explains why. Just this is a very stereotypical situation. When women go to men and share their feelings, and then men try to logically solve their quote problem, but then women get mad because the men are not understanding their feelings. That is a prime example of trying to digest your food with your brain.
Yes. Yes. And I think, well, I use this metaphor a lot. I mean, basically, I'm a trauma therapist. And although the word trauma, not everybody identifies with that, we all have unresolved emotional issues and experiences. We all do. It's again, that's part of the hero's journey of being a human. We all have stuff that happens, no matter how quote unquote perfect things are. If things are too perfect, that underprepares you for an imperfect world in itself, right? So, so we all skew one way or another with stuff that needs to be developed and processed. And I really have come to understand that, you know, there's a very powerful book right now, The Body Keeps the Score, right? And it's really true. Like there's, or from a more spiritual perspective, people talk about the Akashic Records. I mean, there's a lot of whatever happens to us is stored on some level, just like every cell in our body holds our DNA. There is our whole life experience. It lives somewhere within us, our body memory, our psychic memory. And we don't have to remember all that stuff. But I think the important thing is there's this undigested material. And so, just like we all have cancer cells in our body, right? But they don't proliferate because our body processes them, right? The immune system processes them, and it's a natural part. There's all kinds of stuff in our body that's not us, right? Bacteria and all kinds of things that we process. But when there's a dysfunction in our ability to digest or compost or excrete or let go of those things, that's when we get sick. That's when we get, whether it's a biological, like a virus or a bacterial issue, or we get cancer, or we can even turn on ourselves and get an autoimmune disease. And those are all, again, metaphors for what happens for us mentally, emotionally, psychologically, relationally, that there's these unprocessed experiences that's what can make us sick. And if enough of them gather together, we can get a quote unquote like tumor. We can become, we get dysfunction, we get anxiety, we get depression, we develop addictions, trying to process the stuff, just like our body, will do weird things to try to process stuff that it can't. And sometimes the body needs help, sometimes we need help. And the work, the trauma work that I do in spiritual psychology, which is this blend of hypnotherapy and Buddhist philosophy and shamanism, really using these ancient technologies on resting on the foundation of modern Western psychology, is about being able to start that inner healthy digestive system that we have to be able to remind ourselves, oh, or experience like, oh, I'm not a 4-year-old child getting beat by daddy anymore. Oh, I'm not a 7-year-old child getting shamed on the soccer field. Oh, I'm not. And because we can live as if we are those things, we don't even realize it. I'm a 4-year-old whose mother doesn't pay any attention to her. And I go through the world with that pair of glasses on, and through in what I call inner journey work. And it's used in lots of, again, different, I like to call them technologies, healing technologies, inner child work, shamanic journey work, hypnotherapy. There's many internal family systems, which is a sister to my work, beautiful technologies that we have now to deal directly with this unprocessed emotion, which are, attuned, some of them, to like bowel obstruction, right? They make us completely constipated emotionally. They stop us from growing, and we can start to move that system. So again, just like a bowel obstruction or removing a tumor, then the body knows how to heal itself and come back into this healthy place. I just had a knee replacement 7, 8 months ago now. And it's a terrible radical surgery. They cut the end off the two biggest bones in your body. They hammer this new joining. It's crazy what they do. And I can walk now. I walked 2 miles the other day, and I couldn't walk 3 blocks before I had the surgery. The body's capacity, the psyche's capacity to heal, but my knee couldn't heal itself without that surgery. And a lot of times we need to have replacement parts put in. We need people's help, therapists, coaches, good friends, spiritual growth work, to be able so that healing, natural healing conditions can set themselves up.
Yes, I'm so happy you're talking about this. And I'm curious, you've beat around the bush of what I think you know of. Are you familiar with German New Medicine?
I'm not actually.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I'm not an expert in this at all. I just need to preface this. Now everybody's going to go down a rabbit hole. German New Medicine is essentially like the body keeps score, in the sense where you talked about how, everything that happens to us is within the body, and from there we can have a dis-ease. And I say dis-ease like there's going to be inflammation, there's going to be issues, cancer can evolve, and so on. So German New Medicine is the practice of, essentially, there is an entire, for lack of a better word, I guess encyclopedia, let's say, of when people experience certain outbreaks or issues with their body, that it is directly connected to an emotional experience that we've had, and it can actually be pinpointed to that experience. So I'm going to share a short story because I think this is absolutely fascinating. Last year in July, I stopped drinking alcohol because I had all of a sudden developed an allergic reaction to it. Didn't matter what I drank. It was like I had one sip, I'd go bright red, my skin would break out in like hives, and I was just like really uncomfortable. I was like, this is ridiculous. So I've stopped drinking. And I'm chatting with my friend who was actually the one who introduced me to German New Medicine. And she's like, okay, well, that reaction, the allergy is because of a conflict that you had regarding alcohol. And I was like, okay, interesting. And I'm trying to think, I'm like, well, nothing weird happened. And then, so this is July 2023. And then I remembered in January of 2023, I had a disagreement with my dad where I confronted him about him drinking and driving with me in the car. And I realized that last year is when the allergy started. And it was like my body had this reaction to alcohol, like, this is not safe. Therefore, having this reaction to it to like reject it from my body because I had this conflict with my dad. And so it's really interesting. Like, this is just a small example, but I encourage people, you can Google it, but also I use ChatGPT to help kind of dissect some of the information because it is pretty like anatomically heavy. But I just thought it was so interesting, when I've had issues, a reaction or an outbreak or something, and I look under German New Medicine, I was like, oh, this is interesting because this happened in my life. And therefore, it shows you how to heal. Like, the outbreak is the healing process. So that's just an interesting share. But you're already talking about this in different ways, which I find really fascinating.
Well, it is, I mean, it points to this idea of us being a system, which, since the Enlightenment and the idea of the individual intellect, and I think, therefore, I am, there was a real skew away from the body in a lot of ways. And certainly ancient religions were very against the body, too. So moving back into this place of holistic, which is a more feminine approach. If we want to talk about masculine and feminine, the masculine, and this isn't about genitals or even being a man, it's more of a, again, intellect, intuition, tends to divide things up into segments. It's like scientific rational materialism. Which offers tremendous information. But it can easily lose the larger context that, you can study a heart and learn all kinds of things. And we can do, I have an uncle that had a heart transplant 15 years ago, right? I mean, they could, it's crazy what we can do now, right? And because of this rational studying of these individual parts to understand how we can, heal them and help them from a Western medicine perspective. And a lot of this has happened actually in therapy as well. But we've lost the context that, like, if you take a heart out of a body, it's just a lump of meat. It doesn't exist outside of a body. It has to have a body. It has to, and it doesn't just have a body, it has to have a brain that works and an energy system and a circulatory system. So the complexity of being a person and all of the different aspects of ourselves that all work together. And that's really the cutting edge, started in the 80s, actually, with mind body medicine, which was a whole new idea that, like, oh, how people feel and think and their stress and their life experience affects their body. That was a whole new idea. That was like a radical idea for people. No, it doesn't. Yeah, and there's still actually practitioners who don't believe that. And so there certainly are excellent information about there. One of my favorite books is called Anatomy of the Spirit by Carolyn Mace, MYSS. And she actually takes the three major religious, she takes three major religious or approaches to energetic systems. So she looks at Catholicism, she looks at the Kabbalah in Judaism, which is mystical Judaism, and she looks at the chakra system, and she aligns them with each other. And look, she's a medical intuitive, and she looks at people's physical illness and where it correlates with their emotional and psychological and relational issues. And I mean, it can also go the other way too. I have a client who was born with a really radical birth defect. His hips, his pelvic bone was not fused. He had two pelvises. And he started having surgeries at birth and had I mean, it was like, it was horrible torture, medical torture for this poor kid up until the age of five. And he had to have colostomy bags and his bladder had to get refunctioned. I mean, it's like really insane. And so he developed a lot of psychopathology. He actually has, well, I'm not going to actually, just in case anybody can recognize it, they probably won't, but he actually developed what used to be known as multiple personality disorder, which is different aspects of himself split off, just like his pelvis was split, to like be able to try to navigate. At one point, he was strapped down to a bed for 6 weeks as a one-year-old baby. Think about that. He couldn't move for 6 weeks as a one-year-old. Like, it's crazy. So he developed a lot of psychopathology as his body tried to heal and find balance as a result of the physical illnesses that were happening. So it can work different ways, right? We can have these physical, it's again, it's always a conversation back and forth. And it's very, for me, the work is to participate in that conversation and to be able to listen and to be able to express what we need, or how, you know, this conversation, that man-woman conversation like you described, because all of that is helpful and necessary, I think, for moving forward in the hero's journey.
Yes. Okay. The book you mentioned, The Anatomy of Spirit, is that what you said?
Anatomy of the Spirit.
Anatomy of the Spirit. So interesting how she's layering together. So the Kabbalah tree and also the chakra system, those are two major aspects of the human design chart. And what I find interesting about that, yes. So I have clients that I've worked with who they do, I mean, one client in particular that I've worked with, she does functional labs testing. And she does a lot of work with, you know, the science aspect of how the body functions. And she maps it over the human design system because the different centers in the human design chart are connected to different organs and body aspects. And the gene keys as well are, you know, a representation of the DNA, like they're related to the codon rings. There's you know, there's many aspects of how they tie into the pineal glands or like certain hormones in the body. Like I'm laughing because this conversation is all about systems and in so many different ways. I bring up German New Medicine. You've never heard of it, but you've been talking about it in a way that's like not German New Medicine, but it is. And it's just so funny. Like it really shows that there is this one conscious truth that we tap into in different ways, and that's how we choose to live our lives. And it's so beautiful. I've actually, this is going down another rabbit hole, but I think you'll appreciate it. I've been thinking about faith lately, and I've been thinking about religion just because I connected with someone recently in my life who identifies as Catholic, and I was looking at my own upbringing and how I was baptized, and I come from a Catholic background, but I don't consider myself religious. The way that I relate to faith is universe, archangels, source. I don't relate to the word God, right? And some people, they relate to the word God, and everyone has their own relationship. But ultimately, faith is this consciousness and this connection to something that we may not necessarily see in the 3D realm, but it's how we connect and plug into, you know, the source, for lack of a better word. And I love it when we're able to have these dynamic conversations and be open-minded that it is all the same and it's different. And it's not trying to convince somebody to believe or behave a certain way. It's there for us to tap into.
Well, that's the beauty of the moment that we live in right now in our development as a species, and having the grace to live actually in a country where, in countries where we can do this, because there are countries where they can't actually. I did an interview with a woman recently that was unpublishable because she is a Chinese citizen, and some of her friends have been jailed for the spiritual practice that they were doing. And she was knew that she was being watched, and she was afraid because her family was still in China. So anyway, first we just got to say very grateful to be in the Western world where we can talk about whatever we want to talk about in whatever way we want to talk about it, because that's actually not always how it's been. And so even I will say in indigenous cultures that had their own ideas about how things would be, and if you had your own, if you had different ideas, things might not go so well for you. So, you know, this idea of being able to experience our and explore our relationship with, again, I like to call it the larger consciousness system. That comes from one of my favorite nerdy white physicists, Tom Campbell, who's actually one of the most spiritual people you've ever met. He comes out of the Monroe Institute, which is also doing fabulous work of spiritual explorations, and really does. They're bringing, again, the intellect and the intuition together and doing all these experiments to prove the existence of energy, the existence of, non-ordinary phenomenon like remote viewing and intuitive healing and all this stuff, and they codify it anyway. So there's an interesting blend of intellect and intuition, but I diverge off into something. But I think that the idea of being in a system and being part of something is what we need to return to. And I think that actually, at its core, our experience or belief that we are separate and uncared about, I think that is the root of all human suffering. And it's not true, but it makes sense we might experience it. It goes right back, if you want to talk about religion, it goes right back to the first story in the Bible. Adam and Eve get separated from Eden, right? They get kicked out. I mean, that's, whether we get kicked out, I think it's a metaphor for our experience of whatever's happening for us in our own evolution of developing an ego self, that we experience ourselves as separate. And which I don't think animals have that kind of angst. Maybe pets do. Pets are in kind of a different density, but wild animals, I don't think they have angst in the way that humans do, or some pets might, of feeling separate from a larger system. And that for me is why I do spiritual psychology rather than regular psychology, because it is without that experience. And again, it's intellectual understanding is cute, but without the experience of being connected, cared for, we're held to the earth by gravity, we're breathing oxygen in and out of ourselves every moment, and to actually connect with the larger system through elements, through ancestors and angels. Some people do it through religious figures. Those are absolutely a valid way to connect. I work with many religious figures from many different traditions in my own work. Nature, though, for me, remains the most easily accessible because we're aspects of nature. We're 50 or 60% water. We're breathing the air in and out. The energy that runs through our body is very similar to the energy of the sun or the life force that makes things grow. And the rest of our physical being is made up basically the same carbon and minerals that everything else is made up. Like, we're part of this. And to feel that through contemplation, through guided meditation, through inner journey work, it's life-changing than just talking about it. So that's my core work, is to help people to experience that connection. And just like eating food, it's the difference between reading a menu outside a restaurant and going in and eating the food, right? So I can read the menu, but it doesn't actually nourish me or give me energy, right? So.
Yes. Oh, you've had so many great metaphors, and I love how they all have to do with like food, digestion. Like, I'm gonna have to get a snack after this conversation. So good. Oh my goodness. Well, Renee, I absolutely loved our conversation, and it was just so refreshing to hear your perspective and your contribution to just being so committed to healing people. Really supporting them and having them come back to their truth and that wholeness. Like, I really love and feel the love that you have. So, before I wrap things up today, I want to ask, what is a piece of wisdom that you would like to leave with our listeners today?
You are safe, even unto death. Yeah, we are part of something that doesn't end when we die, and it didn't start when we were born. That we are part of a continuation of something that I don't understand, but I know that that is true. That we are loved and cared for, and an important, inseparable part from the larger whole. And whatever you can do to experience and practice that great truth will change and redirect your life.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. Can you please tell our listeners where they can connect with you online? And I'll put all of those links in the show notes.
Sure. So you can find me at reneemckenna.com. I have a podcast, Spiritual Psychology. I have a YouTube channel. I also have a year-long mentorship program training other therapists, coaches, and healers how to apply practical, grounded spiritual principles in their own practices. And so check me out on all those resources. And I have a digital course, a 10-session healing trauma course that is really the essence of my work, and my book, Allies and Demons, Working with Spirit for Power and Healing, is a book and guided audio. I've tried to create low-cost ways for people to be able to plug into this really powerful work so that they can begin that healing journey and connecting journey themselves.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. And thank you again for coming on.
Kayla, fabulous to connect with you.
So good. And I want to thank our listeners for listening. So thank you so much for being here. And if you can take a moment to subscribe to the channel and leave a podcast review, and if you share this on social media, tag both of us and let us know your takeaways. We would love to hear from you. So I will chat with you in the next episode.